I'm going to be reading from John 15, verses 1 through 11, CSB version. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit, so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you remain in me, and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch, and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me, and in my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Jeffrey's got a little bit of James Earl Jones in him, doesn't he? Man. It's like, yeah, you keep on reading, brother. I like that. All right, let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, breathe on this time together. Illuminate your text, Lord. Lord, we hunger for your presence. Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so my title this morning is Joy, the Life You Need, and the Life God Wants You to Live. Here's my main goal this morning, that we may know what joy is and that we may experience more of it. Anybody want some joy? Feels like we've been experiencing some joy this morning. Amen, already. Well, if I mention the name Scottie Scheffler, it probably only is valuable to maybe like 8 people in the room. But he actually is the number one player in golf at the moment. He's like really, really good, like so good that he, Tiger Woods, and I believe Gary Player are the only people before the age of 30 to win all 4 major golf tournaments. So he's like really good. Well, Scottie made some headlines recently back in July prior to the beginning of the British Open. He's doing his customary interview, and he said something that was pretty profound as he was being asked different questions and kind of reflecting on his career success. And he summed up his career success in 3 simple words. What's the point? What's the point? He expounds by saying this. This, meaning his life in golf, is not a fulfilling life. It's fulfilling from a sense of accomplishment, but it's not fulfilling from the sense of the deepest places of your heart. He would go on to say such things as, it's the absurdity of working his whole life to win a tournament only to celebrate for a few minutes before moving on to the next event. He would say that the joy that he finds even in the game, the thrill of the competition and competing, even the gratitude for being able to compete, don't provide ultimate fulfillment. He would follow up with this and says, this is not the place to look for your satisfaction. There's an echo here of Ecclesiastes, if you remember the teacher in Ecclesiastes, and he says this in chapter 1, verse 3. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? What is the point? For Scheffler, despite the highest of heights in his profession and all the accolades, even the glory, if you will, that came with it, his ultimate satisfaction wasn't in that. Where are we getting our satisfaction this morning? Where are we getting our joy? Let's break this down a little bit. Define joy. 1828 Webster says this, joy is defined as a powerful emotion, of pleasurable feelings excited by the possession or expected possession of good, leading to gladness, exaltation, and exhilaration of spirits. It can also refer to a state of mirth. This is 1828 now. That means laughter, okay? Or festivity, the cause of happiness, or a triumphant state. I like that triumphant state. Now, I'm going to bring you to 2025 from Greenville, North Carolina. True joy is complete satisfaction in God, regardless of circumstances. Can we go on a journey together this morning towards joy? Are we okay? Can we go together on this? Let me frame this. This is our moment here for a little bit of audience participation. I want us to gain a picture here of what joy is. So y'all going to actually like participate, right? All right, here we go. I want you to think of someone who's joyful. When you think of someone joyful, who comes to mind? All right, hopefully you got it. Here's my next question. When you think of a place that you like to go that brings fulfillment and enjoyment, where is that place? Or if it's maybe not a place you've been, where is somewhere where you would like to go that you think would bring a sense of joy and fulfillment? All right, give that some thought. All right, hopefully you got those. Now here's my question to us this morning. Are you a joyful person? Was the person that you thought about you? Is there a way to experience more of God's joy? We're going to hone in this morning in our time together on verse 11 because it's going to frame for us what we need to think about when it comes to this word joy. Because if I'm honest with you, it's a little bit elusive for me. As a matter of fact, some years ago, God said to me, enter into my joy. And I was like, how do I do that? I want to enter into your joy. How do I actually gain a greater life enjoying God? Now, this is what the text says. I have told you these things so that my joy may be where? In you. And that your joy may be what? Now, I want you to follow along here because this is critical. What are the things Jesus has told them? Well, it's at a minimum everything preceding up to verse 11. So verses 1 through 10 are the things that Jesus has told the disciples. Y'all following along? Those things represent his joy. Y'all following me? And these things that represent his joy, these things are not in totality of his joy, is the joy that he wants to be in us so that our joy may be what? So that word complete means a sense of fulfillment, a sense of maturation, a sense of completion. It even has a connotation of increase. So there's something about the joy that he has that when we have it in us, our joy is increased. Y'all following what I'm saying? All right, so that's our framing for this. So what are these things? We're going to unpack this a little bit. But first I want to talk about the real picture of joy. Jesus said this in John 5:19. He says, I only do what I see my Father doing. So everything that Jesus did was always in alignment and with direct correlation with both the Father and the Spirit. Y'all tracking with me this morning? So we often look at the picture of Jesus, and rightly so, about the deity of Christ, right? His power, right? Being God in the flesh. He was 100% God, but he was also 100% what? Human. And sometimes we neglect that a little bit and don't appreciate what that means for us. So everything that Jesus did, since he was always in line with the Father, we can look at the scriptures and be able to see that what he did in every single aspect of his life that's available to us to receive is something for us to be able to receive ourselves. That didn't hit really well. Y'all didn't. Let me come over here. Somebody, let me come over here. So everything that Jesus did was in complete alignment with the Father, which means that everything that we see in the scriptures are for us as well. Okay? So what does this mean? Jesus said something pretty profound that actually was a term really of derision, but he made it make it so that we could understand what the life of being a Christian and a follower of Jesus could be. He said that the Son of Man came eating and what? Drinking. He came eating and drinking. So it wasn't this thing of just coming as God the Son, right? I'm going to slap a few people around, show them I'm God, then I'm going to go to this cross and die. Yes, it was centrally about our salvation, but it was also for us to be able to see how we can live our lives. And he came eating and drinking to show us that there are what? There's joy in the Lord. There's joy, and there's actually a chance for us to live in good times. He actually went to a wedding. Right, he actually turned the water into wine. What is this showing to us? This is showing us that as believers, we should take every opportunity to enjoy our lives. Now, for some of us, that's an easy amen. But for some of us, we ain't had a vacation in a long time. And we actually have a sense of guilt and other things that we carry with us because we always feel like we need to be on task. And God is saying, wait a second, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. We're going to have some fellowship with the women this afternoon, right? Praise God. Some of us are going to have fellowship maybe after service in other contexts. We should take advantage of the opportunities to fellowship with other believers, with other people, to live the life that God is calling us to live. There's a joy in the community, a joy in the fellowship that we should be taking advantage of. There's something that comes alive when we're able to connect with other people. There's something that comes alive when we're able to share the table with one another. That fellowship is vital. And sometimes we minimize it and we don't see it as important. And then we're wondering why sometimes we don't have the life of God coming out of us in the way that maybe it could. Now, joy was something that Jesus also expressed. How so, you say? He sang with the disciples. Y'all don't remember that? They sang a song before he went to what? To the cross, before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Right? He expressed joy. Some of us need to be given permission to express some joy, right? That we are so consumed by the things of everyday life, so consumed by the pressures and the stress, when's the last time you had a hearty laugh and just release? And just, some of us, you remember back in the day before you got right with Jesus, you was dancing all the time. And some of us, and I ain't going to lie, that's me sometimes. Man, how do I do this anymore? So give ourselves some freedom to enjoy, right? Because this was the will of the Father. I'm not like making this up. They're always in alignment. So Jesus going to the wedding and doing these things is a part of the life of the believer as well. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Now, if joy is limited to just that, then we're missing it and we are correlating merely joy with happiness. Now, those two can reside in the same space and they should. But happiness is more circumstantial. It's related more to certain outcomes, right? Joy is deeper and richer than that. As a matter of fact, Jesus's desire, his joy, was to bring different people who were outcast in society and bring them into the fold. You remember the women at the well, right? I'm going to go to Samaria. I'm going to meet this woman, right, who says herself, declares, right, there's this barrier between us. We can't come together, right? I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. What do we have to do with one another, right? The very term Samaritan was a racial slur. They called him a Samaritan and a devil. That's what they said to Jesus. What does joy look like in this context? Let me tell you what this looks like, because we live in a time that suggests to us that in order for us to find our joy, remember that place that you want to go to? Remember that? Right? Praise God. I mean, you know, when I first came to Greenville, I got to tell you, when the weekends came, everybody was gone. And then I figured out everybody was at the beach. And I was like, why am I not at the beach? And then I realized, is this like a thing where everybody just leaves Greenville? It's just like, as soon as Friday comes, boy, we're getting out of here. We're going to the beach. Here's the reality. Go to the beach. Praise God. Go to your happy place. But we are living in a time where we're encouraged to believe that in order to find joy, peace, we need to leave the difficult spaces. We need to leave people, right, that are causing us inconvenience. And because of that, we have a distorted view of joy, and we don't have the dexterity, endurance, right, to be able to see beyond the circumstances what God might want to do. And this is what Jesus did for every single one of us. Found us in our condition, but he saw his joy. He saw beyond our condition so that we might become something in him. And this is what the church, I think, is lacking in some respect. It's because we don't really have enough joy in Jesus to stay in the difficult circumstances. But we're needed in the difficult circumstances to see things change. I would, but it's already 11:13. Shoot, boy. Shoot. You're going to be part two for this one. Let me go on to point two. Jesus wants you to be joyful. We will only be joyful if we remain in him. The very heart of this text, you see, repeat, can we get that passage up again? Maybe the first couple of verses, whatever you got. Whatever you got. Remain in me. Oh, you just, yes, remain in me. There it is again. Remain in me. Verse 7, remain in me. Emphasizing over and over again that the only way, right, for us to be able to grow and to be able to grow more in joy is to do what? Remain in him. Now, remaining in him is simply this. It's a priority of relationship. Whew. I think this is worth sharing. So this comes from Craig Keener, Gift and Giver. He says this about, again, honing in on this remaining in him and what this means for us. He says this: Jesus shared God's heart openly with the disciples. He bared God's heart. Here, Jesus explains that he shares the Father's secrets with his friends and promises that the Spirit will be as open with the disciples after the resurrection as Jesus himself had been before the resurrection. Jesus explained that all belonged to the Father's was his, and all that was his would therefore be the disciples. In the context, Jesus especially meant God's truth. Members of God's household, friends of God's Son, would know the heart of God, Jesus' Father. That's a mouthful, but what he's talking about here is this level of intimacy and revelation and the inexhaustible nature of this relationship that we have in the Father, that we can draw upon, right, to be able to see with different perspective, right, enlarge our hearts to see what God is doing in the earth. Are y'all following with me? Now, with that being said, let's look at these verses that I mentioned earlier, verses 1 to 10. I want to highlight a couple of things about remain. Here's my first sort of subpoint: remain in Christ so that you can be fruitful. It brings God glory, the text says, very clearly, for you to be fruitful. He wants to do a work in your life. It's so critical for us to be able to appreciate the truth that God actually wants to do a work in your life. Sometimes we don't think that God wants to do something with us. Sometimes, I really appreciate Brittany's testimony. Sometimes the lies of the enemy have so consumed us, we think it's normal. We think that because we're on the sideline, oh, this is just kind of where I'm at and this is where I'm supposed to be. But God wants to break you free of that. Because he says very clearly that in him, he wants to make you fruitful. He gets glory by you being fruitful. So he wants to do a work in your life, which means that if he wants a work done in your life, all we have to do is to remain in him so that that work can be done. Now, here's where I think the biggest challenge is. Can I just be honest? So I have some kids. They're amazing. They're in the room, so I will watch what I say. But sometimes there are excuses for different things. And then we have to have a conversation. You heard about this, right? Now, we have to just have a conversation about like why, you know, certain things don't get done. I'm just saying it's fine, right? Because guess what? Sometimes that's me and the Lord. So sometimes as I'm talking to them, I got some other fingers pointing back right at me. And one of the critical things that we sometimes make excuses about is we just ain't got time for him. Man, you know, I was just, this week. Oh, and last week. How about any week? You got any week? Any week? But if we recognize and we see our salvation in this light, that it's the most essential and consequential thing that will ever happen in our lives, and that having the intimate relationship with the Father is the source of everything that we could ever hope for, how could we not prioritize that? So this isn't like condemnation. This is like just raising up, right, our hope that, yes, he wants to do something with me. Praise God. He didn't just save me so I could just sit here and just be like, just bound up. He saved me so he could free me so I could do what he's calling me to do. All right, sorry, 11:19. Let me keep moving. Remain in Christ so that you can be heard. What am I talking about here? He encourages us in the text to ask what we want. And if it's in his will, he'll do what? He'll do it. How many of us have felt in our lives sometimes that because of the things we grew up with, the things of certain circumstances, we just don't feel like we can even ask? And we're so conditioned in those other contexts of not asking, we don't recognize that we apply that in our relationship with God. So we don't ask. I had to learn this like back in the day, you know, walking around. Some of y'all are old enough to remember Rob Lee. Rob Lee was a man of prayer. And I'm so grateful for his life because Rob would pray about anything. So we're in Building Hope at this time, and like there was this bike that we had, and it was something, there was something wrong with the screw, and Rob just starts praying about loosening up the screw. He's got the screwdriver. Lord Jesus, free up this screw. I was like, is that a thing? You're supposed to do that? Is that like legal? Can we pray over this? This thing's kind of like, does God care about this? If the very hairs of our head, that should give you the answer that you need. And give you the permission to do what? To ask, to seek him. He wants you to ask because you're heard. You're given permission to speak to your Father. And because you're heard, it's not just a hearing just to be heard. It's a hearing because he wants to give you a response. Let's keep it moving. Remain in Christ so that you can do his will. At the very heart of this, it's essential, is obedience. Now, when we hear that word, we think, man, that feels like shackled up. Oh, I got to do the will of God, right? But his word says this, right, that he loves us. He died for us. And his will, right, is delightful. If we're willing to give ourselves over to him and really trust his character for who he is. So obedience is essential because guess what? This is what he says. Without him, what? We can do nothing. Now here's what often happens. He says this, we can't do anything without him, but guess what? We often do many things without him. Point number three, Jesus suffered for your joy. He suffered for your joy. Hebrews 12, 2-3 says this, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He was cut off for us. Though he remained in the Father, he was cut off for us. He became sin for us. It was his joy. Here's the sort of beyond what we've covered so far in the text. His joy was to go to a cross, to redeem sons and daughters, to bring them into the family of God. It was this joy of doing the Father's will is why he's not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. And his joy and his willingness to die on behalf of sinful humanity changes our perspective on life's challenges. This is so critical. What year is this? Not a trick question. 2025. What are we marking back to? The birth of Jesus. Jordan was with me. We were on campus the other day. And we were doing some evangelism. Met this grad student. Just asked him about his studies. He said, yeah, I'm doing maritime studies. And, you know, in some of my other classes, I'm understanding now the influence of religion on all these different disciplines. There's a book by Tom Holland called Dominion, where he chronicles from Jesus' crucifixion up through, like, I don't even know, the first 400 or 500 years of Christianity, and talks about its influence throughout the West. Every single thing in our society was changed because of the cross. The perspective of the whole world, the very time itself, what we mark today, was changed by the crucifixion. I don't think we appreciate that. It's not just, yes, salvation for us personally and how that changed our perspective and our journey and who we are and how we see life, but it literally fundamentally changed the whole world. It changed the perspective so much so that it's now recounted that people who don't even believe God, some of the values that they hold and they believe are a testament to Christianity. It's a perspective that's changed, and that perspective is critical for us to be able to see through life's challenges. It's understanding that our satisfaction in what Christ has done for us is where we draw our joy from and allows us to see the world differently. Isaiah 12:2-3 says this, indeed, God is my salvation. I will trust him and not be afraid. For the Lord himself is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. You will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. What does that mean? It's not just a moment in time. We can keep drawing from our spring of salvation. Every single day we draw from the spring of salvation. When we're going through trials of life, draw from your spring of salvation. Even if it's a good day, you can draw from your spring of salvation. These are living waters that have been bursting forth from your soul because of the gift of the Holy Spirit that we have. There's something that we can be joyful about even in the difficult times of life, because our lives are connected and dependent on his life that he did for us to be able to live into. How does joy come from a prison? We see it in the New Testament. A portion of the New Testament is Paul writing from prison, and he's talking about in the book of Philippians joy. How can that be unless he is satisfied and so complete in who he is in Christ? And so oftentimes our perspectives get warped because of our circumstances and our challenges, and that we lose the perspective of, man, wait a second, I'm still in his care. I'm still in his hands. And no matter what happens in the future, I have an eternal hope. And there's something for me to celebrate. And no matter where I go, because I have the gift of the Holy Spirit in me, God speaks to me. And it's something that he wants to use in me, even no matter what the circumstances that may befall me. God can still use me no matter what the conditions of life may be. And so many people's testimonies. Now, here's the thing. We always want the happy story, right? Happy ending, right? Like, we get upset, like, when you go to the movies. And, like y'all remember back in the day, Infinity War? Y'all remember that? Yeah. Like, I was messed up. I was like, they lost. How could that be? They lost. There's no losing in Christ. We still feast off of the lives of the martyrs and their testimonies to us of faithfulness to the end, because their hope wasn't in this world, it was in Christ. And it gives us strength and it gives us endurance to know that there is a cloud of witnesses that is cheering us on from the heavens, right? Those who have gone before us, no matter what the life circumstances may bring. Now, I was remembering this podcast. This was around like 2020. Y'all remember those days, 2020? Boy, those were some days, weren't they? Now, I know sometimes we go through some stuff, amen? And I remember this pastor It's Pastor Andrew Wilson. He's actually pretty prominent. I think he's overseas in London. Listen to this podcast, and he's reflecting on 2 Corinthians 4:17. And in that passage, Paul talks about these light and momentary afflictions. You all remember that? Light and momentary afflictions? And in the podcast, Pastor Andrew says this, yeah, when I first was like studying in a seminary and we were like reading that, I just wanted to punch Paul in the face. And the difficulties and challenges of life can get us to a place of frustration, a place of being despondent. And it really brings us to an important point here as I try to land this plane quickly. What inhibits our joy? Put up that laundry list right there. You got it? There's so many things that can inhibit our joy. I'm not going to cover all of these. You can find yourself in here. But I'm going to highlight a few things. Fear. We live in a time, it's probably the thing that's become much more palpable in some of my conversations with people, is people are afraid. They're afraid about what's going on in our society. It's just rampant sense of just fear. And fear will rob you of your joy. Some of us are still operating as servants and not as sons. We're still seeing ourselves less through the lens of the gospel and more in what we need to do in order to make ourselves right with God. We look at our insufficiencies, we look at our inadequacies, and we have not genuinely embraced the fact that his death is truly sufficient to be a son, and that we can rest, because the word says that a son remains a son in the house forever. Disappointments and tragedies, chronic health issues. I've been to the hospital probably more times this year than I can recall. Some of you in this room have dealt with some things, loss, health issues, challenges, and all of those things genuinely can rob us of our joy. But what I'm encouraged about as well, in the midst of this season, is that I see people holding on to their faith. I see people making an active, willful decision because they know without a doubt who their Lord and Savior is, and they know without a doubt where they're going. It's no question in their mind, and they know without a doubt there's no other place to look for hope. We can have joy when we recognize that there's no other place to look for hope. We're not resigned to going to certain things, right, that masquerade as happiness for us, that only provide temporal conditions of hope. What do I mean by this? There's so much that we can get pulled into through social media, right, through things online that masquerade, right, as things that we can find temporary happiness in, but they're only inhibiting our true joy. We won't find satisfaction in those things. So in the same way, Scottie Scheffler could genuinely, even at the highest of heights in his profession, say, this doesn't bring ultimate satisfaction. We have something in Christ that brings ultimate satisfaction. What I didn't reveal to you, and some of you may know this, is that Scottie Scheffler is a believer. He recognizes that though he has a desire to win, he wrestles with this idea. Why do I want to win so much? What's driving this? I know this doesn't bring ultimate hope and satisfaction for me. And of these list of things that are up there on the screen, what are you wrestling with this morning? What are you putting your maybe hope in some ways? Or maybe that's robbing you of your joy. These are the things that God, in the same way Jacob wrestled with the Lord, he wants us to wrestle with these things and not become despondent and dejected, but trust that the God of hope is able to either give us fresh faith to believe for victory and freedom, give us fresh faith to endure the challenge of the suffering, or give us fresh faith to have a healthy perspective to see the ultimate conclusion in the journey of faith in God. Does that make sense what I'm saying to you this morning? Now, I also want to frame it this way as I get ready to close. We can be joyful yet have other emotions. Jesus was joyful, yet he turned over some tables in righteous indignation. I don't think he like skipped. It's like, hey, let me just turn over these tables. Right. He got upset with the disciples when they couldn't cast out the demon. He said, oh, you unbelieving and perverse generation, how long must I put up with you? That didn't sound incredibly happy. He calls the Pharisees a brood of vipers. Sometimes there's moments where we need to say what we need to say. So joyful doesn't mean that we don't experience the range of human emotions at times. I want to frame that. It also doesn't mean that the way God has wired us and the way that we express joy is like everybody else's. And some of us do legitimately medically struggle with things. And then maybe we even feel a sense of condemnation because we're struggling with things. And we feel like, I'm just not like anybody else. And I can't be joyful like someone else. But God wants you to grow in the condition and circumstances that your life is, not someone else's. Let me close with a few things here. Let's enter into his joy. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is what? God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Sometimes, before we feel it, we need to do it. And we don't think that we can, it has to be this something that prompts us, like, oh, I come into worship and I got to feel the song. No, rejoice because you're in Christ. You can always rejoice. There should even be moments where we recognize, man, it's good to be in God. Praise God that I'm in God. I don't need a song. I don't need the choir. I don't need anybody. I can just praise him because he's good. Here are a few things just as I close. I'm going to close, honestly. Enjoy creation. We've talked about that. No matter how good AI gets, it will never declare the glory of God. Enjoy your friends, right? That's something God's been dealing with me on. Make friends. Enjoy your friendships. Change your posture of prayer. Change your posture of prayer. Sometimes we get a little bit stale in our prayer life. Some of us need help in our prayer life. There is a prayer of examine. We did this in our cohort a couple of weeks ago. I'm glad that we did it. Do we have that up there, the prayer of examine? Or did I not give you all that? Or was that my bad? We ain't got nothing. We still waiting. Nothing. All right, it's not up there. All right. So, prayer of examine. Let me just run through that really quick. Beware of God's presence. Review the day with gratitude. Pay attention to your emotions. Choose one feature of the day and pray from it and look forward to tomorrow. If you want more notes on that, you can see me after the service. Here's my last thing. Count or recognize the issues and challenges that you face. We don't need to put the things that we're wrestling with underneath the cover. We need to actually bring them to the forefront and put them to the holy God that's able. And said, Lord, you're able. I bring this before you. Help me to see this. Help me to reveal where I have unbelief, where I'm struggling, where I'm wrestling, Lord, so that you might do something with this. Amen. All right, let's close. Jesus, thank you for the joy that was set before you, that you did endure a cross for us. Thank you, Lord, that you're good in every way, worthy of our praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So we thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we, Lord, can experience more of your joy, the truth of your death and your resurrection, that we could bask in that, grow in that, live into that, the truth of it, Lord Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed. What is this joy of which you refer? Maybe you've had fleeting moments, good times, happiness. But maybe you see, like a Scottie Scheffler, that even in the midst of your successes, hasn't really satisfied. Jesus is the ultimate source of joy. And that relationship with him is available to anyone who acknowledges their sins and their need for him that they may walk in newness of life. Here's the offer of salvation to you. The word says that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If that's you this morning, you want to give your life to Jesus, to follow him, to enter into his joy, just raise your hand. Lastly, if you just are at a place where, man, you know, I haven't been joyful. I've been in a place where the circumstances of life have just robbed me of my joy. Just raise your hand. All over this place, just raise your hand. Just want to pray for you. Jesus, I thank you for every single heart, Lord. Lord, would you give them a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit? Fresh perspective, Lord, on their journey with you. Lord, a new hope, Lord, would arise from their souls, Lord. Yes, Lord, that they would see afresh the gospel and the good news. See afresh your care for them, Lord. Would you break every yoke and bond and lie of the enemy over their lives in Jesus' name? Holy Spirit, Lord, would we be a people, a church, filled with joy by your presence of the Holy Spirit. Breathe afresh on us, not only on this day, but from this day forth. If you agree with that, say amen. 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 All right, I'm going to pass the mic to Pastor Blake. He's going to close us out and give us any instructions.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Pastor James. Thank you for being with us this morning. We have some altar workers down front that would love to pray with you. If you'd like to know more about GCF, I'm going to be in our hospitality room in the back. You guys have an amazing day. If you're new here, don't forget to fill out a connection card. We flourish immediately following in the multipurpose room. And then next Saturday, the 25th, is the men's gathering. Don't forget to register for that. You can do all those things on the app. We'll see you next week.